AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Matt, Patrick, I've got a question for you. All right? You've seen the movie Jaws, right?
I have.
Robert Shaw as Quint, the fisherman, right?
Yep.
How did he not win the Oscar for that?
That is a good question.
He wasn't even nominated for that one. Oh, my God. So I went and watched it. Now, and just a little background history for you. I was born at Fairview Southdale in Minneapolis, okay? And when I was 2 years old, I moved to Wickford, Rhode Island. Wickford. If you say it as it says, Wickford is how it's spelled, but Wickford. And I lived in Wickford for 8 years, and I lived in East Greenwich, or East Greenwich. Anyway, I lived there for 2 years as well. So I grew up a good chunk of my youth in Rhode Island. They filmed Jaws out on Block Island, which is an island just south of Rhode Island. It's part of Rhode Island. It's about, you know, a few miles offshore. It's very pretty, and they filmed a good chunk of it out there. That movie, when I was a kid, played in Rhode Island. Now, this is back in the day when they didn't have 20 theaters in the movie theater. They had, you know, one, two, maybe three screens. And so they would have just the one movie on the marquee. Jaws played in Rhode Island for 2 years. That movie played in Rhode Island for 2 years. If you haven't seen it, it's my wife and I were talking a little bit about watching that movie. It could be the best paced movie of all time. The pace of that movie is spectacular. And it just really it was just amazing how well it went. And I just, Roy Scheider, of course, he was known for The French Connection, as well as also Blue Thunder, which is a very underrated film. Richard Dreyfuss, of course, in there. But Robert Shaw, who stole so many movies because he was that good of an actor. You know, another movie, The Sting. You forget he's the bad guy in The Sting. And he almost steals the movie from Newman and Redford, for goodness sakes. Robert, he saved, there's a god-awful movie called Force 10 from Navarone. It's a sequel to Guns of Navarone. Harrison Ford's in that one. It's not a good movie. It's not a really good movie. But Shaw's in that. Robert Shaw's in that. And it actually is one of the last movies he did. He actually reclaims that movie. That movie's actually not that bad with him in it. So, now, how in the world did Robert Shaw not win an Oscar for Jaws? That's mind-numbing how that's a miscarriage. That movie, there's your, as we're into the Labor Day weekend, the end of summer, since we don't have the state fair, there you go. You can go enjoy that movie as well, okay? 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, Democrat of the day. Let's get into it with Kate Luthner. Kate is running for Senate District 31, north of the metro here. She's kind enough today to take some time to talk about her campaign and the issues she wants to champion. Kate, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks.
Have you watched the original Jaws?
I have not, because I grew up on Long Island, which was just... See, I say we claim Block Island, but I grew up too close to the water to want to even have that in my head.
It did scare me. Growing up in Narragansett Bay there, I did not want to go in the water because of this. And of course, it's even though they do get sharks like that out there, they don't get many big ones like that. But still, just the way it was played, I mean, that one kept me from the shoreline for a while.
And I think my mom knew that it would just live in my head forever, so she did not allow me to watch it. And I just never have. So I grew up in the Great South Bay. So there are little sharks every so often.
Well, you see, as your parents were, my parents were horrible to me. To me, I'm the youngest of seven there. Hey, drag the five-year-old. Let's let him watch this. Oh, my God.
See, I'm the oldest, so I was like their trial child.
Oh, I was their hurdle.
They're like, don't forget you in the car.
Well, I was always usually pretty good. I could, you know, I found plenty of games to entertain myself while I was waiting. So our past on the East Coast aside, we moved here. Why don't you tell everyone exactly who exactly is Kate Luthner?
Well, I nice little lead-in, because I did come from the East Coast, but a couple years ago, I heard on the radio, actually, politically raised as a phrase. I'm like, that exactly describes me, because I moved here as a fairly young adult. I was with my husband. We got offered a job opportunity out here and moved. And I knew very little about the Midwest or Minnesota. And we just took a trance, think you could do anything for 2 years, and loved it. So we decided to stay, and we've been here for over 10 years. And I like to say choosing Minnesota says something about you. I wasn't just born here. I didn't get here by de facto. But after I had children and put them into schools, then I started looking at the school system. And, you know, you obviously compare to what you had as a child and what your kids are seeing. And looking at the finance end of things, our school was constantly practically doing bake sales to raise money for teachers. And I started asking questions and worrying that maybe there was mismanagement or something bad going on. And there wasn't. I started going to school board meetings and just seeing that the economic formula for funding schools is broken. It's convoluted. It's worse than the worst calculus you can think of. It really is an antiquated problem that was supposed to be a solution, but it turned itself into a problem. So in trying to fix it on a local level, I realized that we need to go up a couple more levels because schools are state funded. Mm-hmm. And I kept looking for an advocate in the Senate, and I couldn't find any. And I definitely couldn't find one in the person who is currently senator for SB 31.
Oh, that'd be Benson, by the way.
Michelle Benson. Yep. So I met with her a couple times, and that first year, 4 or 5 years ago, I was like an eager, bright-eyed, loudmouth parent who got brought down to the Capitol and to advocate for schools, my school district. And I looked them in the eye and I told them what we needed. We needed better funding. We needed funding for buses. We needed understanding of what rural schools really are, because they're different than city schools. And everyone looked right back and said, wow, I never knew. That really does sound like a problem. And I went home feeling great, like I made a difference and they're going to listen and something will change. And don't want to, spoiler alert, nothing changed. So it was a couple years. So I thought maybe, you know, I'll try again. I tried again and again. And at the fourth year, and now I've been elected to the school board at this point, because they don't let you just casually participate. Eventually they elect you to something. And I'm working with the school board and I'm seeing how the sausage is made. And it's made by administrators begging for table scraps of money. And legislators saying things like, we just put millions into the school. And millions sounds great as if you were handing me $1 million, I could do good things. But when you're trying to fund school district up and down the entire state, millions is like not even a drop in the bucket. So they'll make a mountain out of a molehill for money, and it's just political spin. And I would call them on it, and they're like, well, you know, and make excuses. So I figured the only way that I'm going to get the advocate I want is to be the advocate I want. Mm-hmm. And just sort of made almost a snap decision to run. But in the back of my mind, I have always wanted to run for public office. It's been a thing that I wanted since I was little. When they asked you what you wanted to be, I never said president, I said senator, because I didn't really want to be president, but I really thought the legislative body, the cooperative aspect of it, that we all get together and make policy that works for all of us, and then we all live in a social contract of following these rules and working towards the best state or country, and that's what I grew up doing. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a very long path to a snap decision.
I want to bring up though some things, and you brought it up, and I can talk about this all day long, because you're exactly right. The way that we fund our schools, it's great for wealthy suburban school districts. I can say that the way it is that, you know, if you need money, go to the referendum. There usually that's not a big deal. Usually, you know, it's a minimal impact to the community. But the way that we fund our schools, it's one of the failures that both affects the inner city schools as well as rural schools. And that is, you have to have better, you can't just be constantly putting mandates on school districts. thinning their budget year after year and then saying, well, then you just need to go get a referendum. Because the reality is that referendums, not only when you're dealing, especially in rural districts where farmers' margins are $22,000, $23,000 a year, it's a big deal if you need $300 from everyone in the district to fix something within the school district. But the problem as well goes on the other side in the city. The cost of doing anything in the city are outrageous. So, you know, even though you have a larger tax base, the problem is that you cannot really generate the revenue you have to. I mean, it's not a football stadium. If you needed a football stadium, they'd get that money in a heartbeat. But, that's kind of the problem that they have. And I think that you're exactly right. Unless we start looking at a cleaner system of properly funding these schools, you're only going to make the rural schools worse and the inner city schools worse.
Right. I completely agree. And I usually don't go into the nuts and bolts of it because it starts, the eyes glaze over when you start talking about finance. Back in my political history there, I helped pass a levy for Forest Lake area schools, and they needed it. They were laying off teachers because they just literally did not have enough money to pay people, and it increases class sizes, and it makes inequities between the districts that can pass levies and the districts that can't, and they grow. And so different districts have different resources to work with, and they'll attract the better teachers because they have a higher price point. And you can't buy quality, you really can't, but it does help. And people who say you can't just throw money at the problem, you're like, no, but money does help. And I want there to never be a levy again. If we don't have to waste time and energy and resources on trying to pass a levy every 2 or 3 or 7 years, then we can use that energy to do something productive, making better curriculum, making a more equitable this, teaching more civic engagement, trade schools. There's so many more things we could spend our time and energy and money focusing on. But levies, like you said, that's how schools are funded now. You can't be a district without a levy. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's a levy on every district that you don't even vote on. Mm-hmm. It's part of one of the solutions that's actually a problem that's supposed to be a solution. It's very interesting. I heard today we had the opening day of schools. Teachers started today. So we had a keynote speaker, and he said that today's problems were yesterday's solutions. So somebody at some point was trying hard to fix a problem and thought that this solution was going to do it. Mm-hmm. And in some twist of unintended consequences, the solution becomes a problem down the line. And that's what levies are. Like, we can't live without them, but they're very hard to keep rolling with. It's like hanging on to dot matrix printers.
Well, no,
you can do better.
You're exactly right. And the problem is that you have, I mean, and my God, how many times do you have a levy that's needed? And some guy who, even though it will cost them 20 times as much as the levy would, will hire some group out of Iowa to come up here to campaign against it. And like, that's something that's going to happen. And then they wonder why their school closed. They wonder why that school district had to merge with the other school district.
They lose their best teachers. Their teachers leave for $10,000 more a year somewhere else.
Exactly. And I mean, you can't have the system here. And I always look back. I mean, clearly what it was someone at some point said, I don't want my money, my taxpayer dollars, to go to a different school district. I want it to help mine. And that way is, you know, and on one side, I can, you know, that's how they sold it. It's a, okay, it's local control of your tax dollars. But the reality is that it creates these wells of debt that are in these school districts, especially, once again, rural districts. They've just gotten hammered. And your other point I will make as well that I think is spot on is the Republicans will throw out a dollar amount and say, we spent $1 million. And let's just take it with like PPE equipment, health equipment with the reopening of schools. $1 million we're going to give the state. That doesn't cover, you know, masks and hand sanitizer for, what, 5 districts in the state. You know, you need to have a massive spending program. And the reality is they will not spend the money. And it's not just education. It's roads. It's environment. It's healthcare. They will only put out a piecemeal effort so that they can campaign on it looking like they're caring. But the reality is they're not doing nearly enough as they need to do to help out the school districts.
Right. And I'm your Democrat of the day, which is great, and thank you for inviting me. But the Democratic Party kind of moved over me. I've been standing still. However, the Republican Party moved away. So I still hold a lot of the let's not spend ourselves out of every problem. However, you need to spend money to not create a worse problem. And there's evidence that shows spending money on early education and early intervention prevents crime down the line, prevents more prisons, different psychological issues. If you spend some money on health care in the front end, you give kids the tools to cope that they don't turn into adults with giant problems that need consistent aid for the rest of their life. So I really, like, the prevention is what I'm looking for. And I don't disagree with everything the Republicans say, not by a long shot, because you need to look at, you can't spend money you don't have. However, when there's a dire need for our schools to be tuned up, brought back to right, and to stop depending on Band-Aids, that we need to find the money. And a couple of different agencies have asked, where are you going to find it? And I'm like, well, they don't give you the playbook until you're elected, but it's going to be in taxes somewhere.
Well,
and it's either a cut or a new.
Well, I think it's more of a basic problem here. And this is, I mean, you can have a discussion like a 1980s, you know, political discussion where we just disagreed on the issues. The problem here is that we start our budgetary process as a whole by giving a massive tax cut to the wealthy people and then act like we didn't just take a good chunk, a third of our income and just slash it off the books. And then they say, well, we're in a deficit. We have to cut. If you don't just go off and the first thing you don't do is give massive tax cuts out and then try to balance the budget, well, surprisingly enough, you have money for everything. And that's not increasing taxes. That's just having everyone pay their fair share.
Yeah, paying the fair share. I took a couple high-end economics classes. I have an MBA, so I did a finance track through college, and then again in, you do not believe how much finance is actually in an MBA. It's a bit of a surprise to me, but I took it, and I learned a lot from it, and these finance classes teach you a lot about just the strange loopholes that exist that, and you know why? Because people who wanted those loopholes were in power, and so therefore they made a loophole. And I think we're getting to a part of our evolution in society that we need to look at equity and everybody getting a fair deal and closing some of the great big loopholes. And so exactly what you said, you're completely right that there's big tax cuts. And most wealthy people who are good people at all say, I don't mind paying my fair share. Mm-hmm. I don't mind helping. And they'll donate to whatever cause you ask them for. But they are also not looking into what's going on. So they were complete ignorance on why they're not paying taxes. And then that's okay. Like, not everyone's job is to be a tax accountant.
Yeah.
And these wealthy individuals trust the system and the people that are working for them. And they don't even probably realize what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be really nice to have enough money to fund anything. And as you said, the unfunded mandates, I don't think a lot of people know about those. People will work real hard to pass something like this thing for special ed. Any number of things could be called out. And they are great ideas, and they're for kids, and they are positive, except they don't come with any money. So they come with a mandate, you must do this thing, and they don't come with any backup. So school districts just have to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And that means that the typical child, the one who does not need special services, gets less, because the other children pull more resources because it's legally mandated. And it's necessary, but I'd love for every child to get everything they need.
Senate District 31, once again, Kate Luthner is running. She's running as the DFL candidate in Senate District 31. Kate, if people would like to donate and volunteer and get in touch with your campaign, how do they do that?
Well, my website's probably the easiest way, because it's Kate for Senate. SD31, tongue-tied, first time on air. If you Google Kate Luthner, spelled L-U-T-H-N-E-R, it comes up with either Facebook or my website, and both of them have donate buttons. I'm working with Act Blue, which you can also just Google in Act Blue, and it comes up to me. So we're taking our 25s and our 50s and doing really good things with them. But I'm also trying to be conservative. I'm not trying to spend big on, trick advertising, but we're doing a lot of it with mailers. We're trying to avoid door knocking and get information out to everybody. So that's our goal, is to just get known and have people decide on a candidate, not blindly say, I only vote Republican. So take a look at who you're voting for.
Kate Luthner, the number 4, Senate31.com. That's Kate Luthner, the number 4, Senate31.com is the webpage. Kate, I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the invitation, and hopefully this works out for me. Otherwise, I'll talk to you next year.
In 4 years. That's Senate race. Thank you very much, Kate. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Nightingale at 26th and Lindale is open for in-person service. They have a lovely socially distanced patio and interior available for safe and thoughtful dining and drinks. Nightingale has reservations via resi.com with plenty of tables and bar spots saved for walk-up reservations. Nightingale's temporary summer hours are Sunday through Thursday from 4 to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday 4 p.m. to midnight. Last call for full menu 30 minutes before close with curbside takeout by calling 612-354-7060. Info, menu, and updates at nightingalempls.com.
Hey, I guess we found a new name for our show.
Really? What's the new name?
Pilots Progressive Party.
How did you ever come up with that?
Pilots our name and progressive fun is our game.
Well, what's that about?
It's a one-hour news show with progressive guests and information you normally don't hear on the radio.
Well, that's so exciting. I have a few ideas for guests myself.
I know they'll be progressive.
Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. on AM 950.
The Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Alicia Luther-Toms, Certified Financial Planner with RBC Wealth Management. You might think you have to give up performance to invest responsibly, but that simply isn't true. Responsible investing can actually have a positive impact on performance. We will work with you to come up with a strategy that matches your values. This is Alicia Luther-Toms at 612-770-4460 or alicia.luther.toms@rbc.com.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
We're breaking out this time, making out with the wind.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. You know, I want to take some time, if I may. I don't have a lot of time here, but I want to take some time here and talk about winning in Minnesota. Because if you haven't heard, there have been a litany of, because no other state that Hillary Clinton won is even close to going possibly to Trump. I mean, right now, the poll numbers show Biden leads in Minnesota by about 5 points. So I don't know where in the world all this is coming from that it's like, oh, Trump's going to win it. He's 5 points behind. Right now, Biden's leading in Georgia by 2 points. So, you know, it's. But the reality is that they're trying desperately to find some state that Trump could win in to that he did not win in 2016. He right now looks like he is definitively going to lose a whole bunch of states that he carried, including Michigan, Pennsylvania. There's a decent chance Wisconsin's going to go to the Democrats. Arizona looks like it's going to go to the Democrats. Right now, Florida looks like almost a pretty solid choice for the Democrats, but Florida's weird. So, North Carolina, Georgia, both are looking strong. Ohio's a tie statistically right now. Many states, there's a lot of states which are a lot closer than you'd think they would be. Arkansas is actually closer than people would think it is. Iowa is. Minnesota has had some polls which have shown the lead for Biden is 12 to 15 points. It has showed the lead for Biden's around 5 points, and that's kind of what they're going off of. The Republicans are going to spend a lot of money, and let's face it, we had last week was just, you know, just ugly with the convention and the constant lies and this, you need to be afraid. And it's frustrating because after George Floyd, there was, if you went anywhere in the state, you saw something you had never seen before. And that is, you would see Black Lives Matter signs. Black Lives Matter signs that say, you know, remember George Floyd, you know, police reform now. And the Republicans, you know, they have been constantly going down the path of racist attacks, and that's what they are. Those people in the inner city, look at those people. They're going to come into the suburbs. Oh, suburban women. Oh, guess who's coming to the door? Oh, my God. I mean, that's kind of the mentality. And it's not the first time. I mean, remember, in 2018, Keith Ellison ran for the attorney general's position. And if you went into rural Minnesota in 2018, what was the narrative you heard? Black Muslim man, metro area Black Muslim man. And that was their entire argument against Keith Ellison, right there. They will always go to racism if that's the only path they've got. And the reality is that they have what they have done well, and let's call it what it is that they have gotten people to kind of ignore. I mean, even though the coronavirus pandemic is a major thing, it's not really the top of mind story right now. They haven't talked about hurricanes and wildfires. They haven't talked about an economy that's teetering on the edge as it speaks. And the fact that we have a lot of people who are going to, there's going to be a lot of foreclosures. There's going to be a lot of unemployed people. It is going to get really bad. And you're going to have schools who are going to be spreader communities for this coronavirus. There are a lot of things that are out there that are very viable. And once again, Donald Trump's an ass. My God, he's a massive ass. He has been there. He put babies into cages. He's trying to build a wall. He stole money from emergency relief and the military building projects to build a border wall. There are so many things that we can hammer on, but because the Republicans have basically turned everything into those people. That is where it's at. And, you know, and now all of a sudden you're like, oh, look, Minnesota go for Trump. Minnesota's still, Biden's leading by 5. Biden's leading by 5. Well, but in plus or minus, I think he still would win by 1.3. So, and that's if everyone in the plus or minus range went Trump's way, he'd still lose. What are you doing to help make the blue wave happen? And with all due respect to Kate, I don't need Republican light. You can be a DFLer. I mean, Governor Walz is definitely a moderate Democrat. Sidney Jordan, Minneapolis, she's a progressive Democrat. You can mold the DFL moniker to your district. I mean, in 2016, healthcare, and which, by the way, should also be a pretty big issue this time around, because reminder, Republicans can't win on healthcare. So have you noticed that, you know, people, the Democrats have dropped the ball and they're not going out there and they're not attacking on healthcare? They're not. They need to be attacking more on healthcare because the Republicans will take it away from you completely, as well as Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare. All those will be gone under the Republican administration. Instead, it seems like the party is going in two different directions right now. One side of it is the Democratic leaders who are trying desperately to do the failed policy. My God, I have been watching this for 20 years. If I have to see another Democrat pretend I'm really a Republican, if I have to see that, or say, hey, guys, we'll get 3 or 4 of these Republicans to join us and vote with us. All we have to do to get their vote is to sacrifice 95% of the party platform. And then they'll think about joining us. No, they're not going to. Why vote for Republican light when you can vote Republican? So don't do that. On the other side, because we're so damn angry, and we have there's a reason to be angry, the only issue that seems to be being focused on right now is racial injustice. And the way that the Republicans, and this is what they want, because they can frame that image to a majority of people as those people. That's what they're trying to do. There's plenty of reasons to hate Donald Trump and the Republican Party today. So we should have a multi-thronged attack going at all different angles. And we should stop worrying about a handful of Republicans and focus on the 110 million registered voters, many of which are the Democrats, who basically don't vote because we don't mold the Democratic message to those people anymore, for goodness sakes. How many in 2018? How many people in 2018 were going door to door and would comment on the fact that it's like, well, I was in a district and they said the last time a Democrat came through and knocked on a door for an election was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. That's our mistake. The Democrats should be hammering on every door in the state when there's not a pandemic, but they should be going out there and meeting with the people every single time. We should have proud Democrats running in every district. And if they're not a proud Democrat, that's fine. They can run as an independent. But you can have a DFL platform with a moderate and with a progressive. It's not a one-size-fits-all party. And we've learned from guys like, you know, Barack Obama and Paul Wellstone, two very different politicians who are both under the Democratic fold. So the question I'm asking you is right now is this. Are you just going to sit here and have your little pity party? Are you going to just sit here and just be mad because Trump's a big meaty and look what he's doing? Are you going to just basically give up? Are you just going to give up? There's a story today. National political money is flowing into Minnesota now. Republican State Legislative Leadership Committee has announced this week it will spend $500,000 to hold the GOP-led Senate and help Republicans flip the Minnesota House. Now, they're not going to flip the Minnesota House. They're not going to flip the Minnesota House. They lost way too many seats this last time. But they might be able to stop the Democrats from picking up the Senate. And they're going after, amongst many people, a fantastic senator in Susan Kent. They're also targeting Kelly Morrison, the DFLer, and for the House in Deep Haven. And it's not that these guys, I mean, go take a look at their social media posts of their challenges. There's nothing there. But because they are just going to spend a ton of money and say, those people, that's what their campaign's going to be. The reality is we need to fight. And we need to fight in all these districts and all these seats. I have already volunteered for multiple campaigns. I have donated to multiple campaigns. I will continue to do so as I go through this election cycle. What have you done? Have you put out a snazzy little meme up on social media? That's not doing anything. Have you basically said, you know, called out your uncle? Well, he probably became more determined to vote against those people. You need to go out in the district and help these Democrats win. You got 2 months. You have 2 freaking months to save this country. And the only way that the Republicans win is if you have a pity party and you stay at home. I am tired of this. I am embarrassed at where our country has gotten today. It is an absolute catastrophe what has happened to the United States of America. And it's because of Donald Trump and the enabling Republicans. It is time for all of them to go. And I will fight until my last breath through this election cycle and every single election cycle after this. So just because the game got a little tough doesn't mean you just go out and cry in the corner. It's time for us to show what you are made of. What are you doing to have the blue wave happen? What are you doing? I want everyone who's listening to me right now this week to contact everyone you know and make sure they're registered to vote. Make sure they know where they're going to vote. If they don't know, get them to the Secretary of State's page, get them the information. If they want to try to vote early, get them to the Secretary of State's page and get them the information. I want you to try to volunteer in a district that's currently held by a Republican sometime in the next 2 months. I would like to, if you can afford it, to write a check to help out a Democrat challenging a Republican in a red district right now. The only way that the Republicans win is if we quit. And I'll be damned if I'm going to sit in a country that has been sullied as badly as this country has been and just accept it. I fought for this country. I am a veteran of the U.S. Army, and I am proud to have been a veteran of the U.S. Army. And it embarrasses me to see what that man and that political party have done to this country. What are you doing to make the blue wave happen? What are you doing? Don't tell me what you're going to do that Republicans are like. Tell me what you're going to do that's a Democratic initiative. Because you know what? The Democrats' initiatives are the popular ones. They're the ones that people like. Healthcare and good schools. Clean environments. Not having black people shot by cops. Not vigilante justice gunning people down in the streets. Don't. Now is not the time to quit. Now is not the time to shy away. Now is not the time No, now is the time to fight. We got 2 months. What are you doing to make the blue wave happen? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I've ranted enough. We'll come on back with the Minnesota Coronavirus Update. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Taking prescription medication should not be a scary task. The staff at St. Paul Corner Drug makes certain you know everything about your prescription medication before you leave the pharmacy. Knowing what to expect and when and how to take your prescriptions gives you the confidence to safely take your medication and maintain good health. Should additional questions arise, we are here to help sort things out. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be, at stpaulcornerdrug.com.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
I love the Toyotas I've gotten at Rudy Luther Toyota, but I keep going back because of Luther's top-notch customer service. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. And I can tell you, it will save you a lot of money over 3 years. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Better Futures Minnesota's Reuse Warehouse has big news. We have a brand new online store. Check out reusebfm.com. This is a great way to see what we carry in the Reuse Warehouse. Appliances, building materials, kitchen and bath fixtures, lighting, flooring, lumber, heating and cooling items. Don't miss the beautiful benches and COVID safety shields that are hand-built using reclaimed wood from our deconstruction projects. Check out reusebfm.com. That's reusebfm, as in Better Futures Minnesota.com.
And by no means, is any of the issues that the Democrats are trying to champion lesser issues. No, I mean, in my time, I have never seen so many priority A issues on the table at any given time. And definitively, racial injustice has to be part of the discussion. But the Republicans desperately want that to be the only thing, because they can go back to their districts and then go to Republicans and say, those people. And as, you know, I'm sorry, I don't want Republicans saying, I'm voting for them because of those people, even though grandma died of coronavirus, even though I've lost the farm, even though that, there's a hurricane took out an entire house. And you know what? Republicans, if you do not plan on pretty much every Republican voting for Trump again, you're a fool. Healthcare, coronavirus, babies in cages. Trump's an absolute ass who probably has had some mental cognitive issues. I think that mini stroke story is probably true. and the unbelievable racism that Donald Trump has exposed, not because he's trying to fight it, but because he's trying to encourage more racism, because that fires up his base. You can go with any of them, but needless to say, it's time for us to stop focusing on the what the big mean Republicans are saying and get our message out there and go on the offensive. Lawrence is in St. Paul. Welcome on in, Lawrence.
Well, how's it going? Hey, you were talking about, first of all, yeah, it's true. I called you several months back, and I said exactly what you're saying now, which is white people are willing to die to maintain racial superiority. But that's another show altogether. But you said, what are we going to do? I'm going to tell you what we're going to do, and I encourage any followers to get in touch with me. We're going to rent two vans, and we're going to load people and voting ballots up and personally take out and educate people, and we're going to take their ballots to the post office. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to call it the van stop, like a bus stop. So you know you got to be at a bus stop at a particular time.
Well, and Lawrence, I want to make sure, and thank you very much, Lawrence. I appreciate the phone call. I want to make sure, and trust me, this is part of the reason why they're going after the post office. This is part of the reason why they're going to go after voting. They are going to try to make this difficult. There are ways. I want everyone to get in touch with the DFL. Get in touch with the Democratic Farm Labor Party, DFL.org. If you want to help on that level, make sure you talk to them first about the, so that no one's ballot gets thrown away because, it shouldn't have been picked up that way. It shouldn't have been dropped off by this person. Make sure that if you want to do this, if you want to do, make sure people are getting ballots turned in, talk to the DFL. The DFL will help you coordinate what is legal to do, because, I just want to be careful there. And, the reality is Republicans will look for any reason in the world to throw votes out. They don't care about people's civil rights and the constitutional rights. They don't. They will look for any reason. And if they get, there was a lot of people from this ward that this guy picked them up in there. How do we know he didn't open them all up and fill them out himself? We got to make sure we do it. Getting as many votes to the count as possible is important, but make sure you talk to the DFL. Call the DFL. They'll talk to you. Ken Martin, he's a great guy. They'll talk to you. They'll tell you what you need to do. If you want someone to help out, the Secretary of State's webpage as well is chock full of information. And there are drop boxes all over that you can get to, okay? Drop boxes all over. 952-946-6205. Six COVID-19 deaths reported by Minnesota health authorities on Tuesday, along with 502 newly confirmed infections with the novel coronavirus. The latest tallies of the Minnesota Department of Health bring the state's totals to the pandemic to 1823 as far as deaths, 76,355 confirmed infections, including 68,488 who have recovered to a point they no longer are considered infectious. The state also reported 249 hospitalizations, including 136 people who needed intensive care due to breathing problems and other complications from the infection. The deaths reported on Tuesday involved four people in the age range of 60 to 64, one person 75 to 79, and one person 90 to 94. People 70 and older are more susceptible. While 74% of COVID-19 deaths in Minnesota involved residents of long-term care assisted living facilities, five out of the six deaths reported Tuesday involved people who lived in private residences. Efforts to prevent outbreaks in long-term care facilities have resulted in more even split this summer of the number of deaths between those two systems. It also should be mentioned another story came on up. Two statistical milestones suggest trouble ahead for Minnesota in the COVID-19 pandemic as health officials warned Monday that the state's new case rate now exceeds the national average and outpaces growth for the first time in the number of diagnostic tests performed. State Health Commissioner Jan Malcolm said there are signs of COVID-19 growth statewide and that Minnesota has overlooked the risk of viral transmission in family and friend gatherings compared with supermarkets and stores where mask wearing and social distancing have become the norm. These informal gatherings have provided a weak spot in our collective statewide response. Now, let me point out, we've had this summer 5 or 6 get-togethers of family or maybe family and friends. And the first one that happened, one of the things that happened, we had set up lawn chairs in our front yard And someone came on in, grabbed one of the lawn chairs, got right next to me and sat down. And said, whoa, you can't do that. I think there is this mentality that, well, if it's just at our yard, that's no big deal. But the reality is you can't know. And you got to be careful here. And the hardest part is the kids. Because I spent, of course, obviously, I watched a lot of my kids. My son played baseball this year, and they did a pretty good job of limiting, you know, exposure. They tried to keep people away from each other. So far, so good there. But the reality is I saw a lot of kids just hanging out, hunkering together in large groups. And, you know, that's the case. I mean, if all of a sudden you're inviting some friends over and they come on in and they're all, you know, they're all hanging out with each other. Well, if one kid's got it, then every kid's going to get it. And then every kid's parents is going to get it. That's kind of the problem. Malcolm's warning on Monday was juxtaposed with the state reporting only one death, the lowest single-day total. That was yesterday. The 306 COVID-19 hospitalizations on Monday also reflected a plateauing of severe cases through much of August. But Malcolm said the state needs to act before those trends get worse. Now, then, once again, it should be mentioned that most people feel as if the trends are going to get worse because of school starting back up. I had a friend today posting pictures. First day of school. And there they are. It was like 50-50. It's like half the adults in the school pictures had their masks on, but there was more than a few adults in this school that were standing right next to that kid. Here's a photo time, and I'm glad you're back to school. But really? Didn't you guys get a memo or anything about what's going on right now? Because put on a mask, for goodness sakes. I understand it's going to be hard for especially the young kids. I get that. It's going to be hard. But you're the adults. You got to set the example. Minnesota now has new case rate above the national average, according to data BRICS approved, provided to Malcolm on Sunday. The state also has reported an increase in the positivity rate. State Infectious Disease Director Chris Eidelman said group outbreaks at weddings and barbecues generally result from the lack of compliance with safety measures. That's the deal. It's these casual get-togethers that they're having all the problems with. And so it's interesting. I've been paying attention to Itasca County here, but Winona County has had a real bad problem. The uptick in cases in Winona County appears to be linked to the return of students to local colleges. Statewide, there are more than 250 known infections involving college students and staff members, many of whom were infected elsewhere and brought the virus to campus. The state has advised college students to avoid group gatherings in the 2 weeks before returning to campuses to increase their chances of arriving virus-free. You know, that's the deal, is you're only as good as there, you know, as that is. The Department of Health on Monday reported an updated total of 49 people in the state with positive infections who have participated in Sturgis. In South Dakota, two of those people have been hospitalized now. Thanks, Governor Noem. Thanks a lot for that. I'm sure they're real happy. Live to ride. Well, I'm keeping an eye on Itasca County. Itasca County still is one of the worst counties in the state. That's where that Effie rodeo was. Finally, on coronavirus, before I get to Julie on the phones here, Grand Forks County has the highest number of active coronavirus cases in the state of North Dakota, 536. That's nearly 100 more than the second closest county, Burleigh, and more than double Cass County's number of cases. In Grand Forks, a very serious situation now, said City Council member Brent Weber. He spoke at length Monday night to urge city leaders to seriously consider a citywide mask mandate. Health leaders are blaming students returning to UND. The mayor revealed 87% of the current positive cases were found among people in the ages 15 to 29 years old. There's a number of people who are infectious when they came here, and the spread has been happening here. The discussion becomes at a critical time. The council is days away from a vote that would require all non-essential businesses to close again, like back in March. You can't continue locking us down with the whole mask mandate. It scares the hell out of people, said Scott Reinhardt from Integrity Fundraisers. One of the best things we can do is keep our businesses open. The simple act of putting cloth over our face. Mayor Brendan Bukcheski said, this isn't Nazi Germany. Oh, for God's sakes. Where we bust into houses and force people to wear a mask. No! But you can say if you go outside of their house, they can wear a mask, you idiot. Oh, God. Can we put two signs, one at North Dakota, one at South Dakota, with an arrow pointing west, with saying, We're with Stupid. Can we just do that? I'm with Stupid. Hey, we'll get one on Aim to the East, too. Oh, get one to Wisconsin, too. I'll let you off the hook this time. But, dear Lord, it's Nazi Germany, so you're masked to go out into public. We're not going to kick in the doors and make people put on masks in their houses. Well, no one's suggesting that they have to wear the mask in the house. It's when they go out into public that they should be wearing a mask. I just, this epidemic in the United States, this is Trump's crisis because it has clearly been made worse by ignorance. Julie in Minneapolis, real quick, if we can.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in for a few seconds. You know, Matt, I'm very concerned. I'm wondering if the Democrats have a decent or a good ground game across the country. You know, I heard recently that the Republicans are knocking on 1 million doors a week. You know, they have their fans. And so, yeah, I'm really concerned about Democrats being lackadaisical. Oh, we're ahead a few points in several states. And what do you know about the ground game? I know we've got the TV ad. That's not enough.
Well, and Julie, if I can jump in really quick, I'll say this. If they continue with, and thanks, Julie, I appreciate the phone call. If they continue with this trying to appeal to a handful of Republicans, that's not going to work. Let's take a break. Hopefully we get some dancing time before we get out of here. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Next Chapter Booksellers can help you find that perfect book. They have free home delivery within St. Paul for orders over $50 and free mail shipments within the U.S. for orders over $50. Call 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Snap Construction wants to say thank you to all of the brave healthcare workers, first responders, police officers, and firefighters for putting themselves ahead of others every day. Your bravery is heroic, and to all of our fellow Americans, best wishes and health to you and your families from Snap Construction.
Hi, Matt McNeil from AM 950. Toyota is making the best vehicles on the market today. The Highlander, the RAV4, Camry, Sienna, all their models are sensational, designed for the driver. Once you realize which Toyota vehicle is best for you, the next step is to head over to the best Toyota dealership in Minnesota, Rudy Luther Toyota. Getting the best vehicle at the best dealership is important, and I trust them, period. Head over, tell them I told you to stop on in. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Schroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Schroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
Oh, yeah. This is going to take us out today. It's September, everybody. Have you checked your earth, wind, and fire calendar? Have you? There you go. Have a good one. We are back on a Wednesday with Stein. Till tomorrow. See ya. Do you remember?